This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, it's back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back.
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, which college football teams have improved the most this offseason? We'll catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery. Also, a little bit later on, which team could be like this year's... which team this year could be like last year's Cincinnati Bengals, I guess is the best way to put it. Who could be the next version of the Bengals after they surprised many to reach the Super Bowl a year ago? If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. And the podcasts are back up on charlestonsportsradio.com. Just click on our show page, the Morrow Midday Show page, and you can find the show podcasted there. We had some issues behind the scenes with the website, but everything is now caught up over the past about week or two. So the podcasts are back up on the website, if that's how you used to listen. CharlestonSportsRadio.com. Click on our show page there. You can always leave a comment for the show. Find the latest versions of the show podcasted, or you can even take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go. You can just stream us online right there at CharlestonSportsRadio.com. On a throwback Thursday, Father's Day coming up this weekend. Touch on that in just a moment. Went out, played some basketball tonight. I'm going to try. Listen, I'll tell you what. They can't play back-to-backs in the NBA anymore. These guys are complaining. They don't like to play games back-to-back days. I played pickup hoops last night. I'm supposed to get back out there tonight, play again tonight.
How'd we do? How'd we do last night?
So, it was so hot yesterday.
Yeah.
I heard Bobby talking on Fan Talk after I got off the air about the heat advisory. You don't need – what's the point of heat? You should know how hot it is. And then I know you guys are talking about tipping your caps to people who work outside.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, I wasn't working outside, but we played outdoors last night. So when we first started at about 5 o'clock, it was I thought I was going to pass out. I had no energy. I was terrible the first couple of games. I wasn't feeling great. And then by the time the sun went down at about, I don't know, 6, 6:30, it actually got pretty comfortable. And at that point, I started to play a lot better.
But turned
those,
it on.
Yeah. Those first couple of games, though, I had nothing in the tank. I legit, at one point, I thought I was going to pass out. Like, we need to take a break. It is the feel like temperature is like 100 degrees. We're playing. There's no shade. We're in the sun. It was brutal. But we made it through last night. It was fun. And now tonight, supposed to get back out there. Except tonight's actually supposed to be in a gym. So we'll see. That'll be nice. That'll be welcomed. And tonight's game, supposedly, is being organized by one of our bosses here.
That's right. Yeah, the boss man himself.
Well, so, I'll believe it when I see it because we've heard some promises for a long time.
Right, and I'm not sure the kickoff time. I don't know if I can be, you know, the facilitator out there because I will be out at the Gamecock Club with Bobby later.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Gonna go out and do the remote with him. So potentially, you know, might make an appearance. Might have to go ball in some khakis, Luke. you know, just gotta do what you gotta do.
When I was living in upstate New York, it was a great deal. You could go to the local college and pay. It was like $5, if that, to go play pick up hoops in their college gym for as long as you want for the day. And there's always obviously college kids playing there. And I was not far removed from college at the time. So I'd go there and I'd play. There was always this one guy who would always play in jeans.
Oh, yeah.
Every time.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, what are you doing? How is that comfortable? Who's
look out for
basketball
him.
In jeans.
Look out for him, though. The guy playing jeans at the pickup court, you make sure you don't give him a couple hard fouls, you know, because he might give it to you back a lot harder.
Yeah.
A lot harder.
He had like his work boots on and his carpenter pants over here.
Got to get it. Got to get the shots up, Luke.
that blew my mind, playing in jeans. I couldn't play in pants. Like, I watch guys now who wear those, like, the compression.
Yeah.
But they're like the long pants underneath. Or even guys that will wear full sleeves. I got to be more comfortable than that. I can't play sports. At least not basketball. I mean, baseball, you're wearing pants, so. I guess it's just basketball. I can't play basketball in, like, pants or even a long sleeve shirt.
Yeah, football is a little different. Having the you always want to make sure every part of your leg is covered. Normally, that's what I did at least. Maybe you can call me soft, but I wanted all my legs covered.
No, I don't blame you. So we did okay. Got the shot going last night. I'll be plenty warm for tonight. We'll see.
Ooh, yeah, exactly. We will see if it actually happens.
We'll see if I have any. Yeah, we'll see if we actually play, and we'll see if I have any energy left in store tonight. I'm feeling better than I thought I would today after playing last night. So, anyways. You know, Father's Day is coming up. It is a throwback Thursday, so let me spend a moment here today talking about Father's Day this weekend. Because what I appreciated was last night, while I was there at the court playing some pickup basketball, as we're sitting around in between the games, and we needed extended breaks last night because of how hot it was, we're all dying out there. The guys, the other guys, most of them are fathers. Most of them are talking about their stories were all about playing sports with their kids. And I love to hear these stories because it takes me back to when I was growing up. But the other fathers there, or the fathers, I'm not a father, the fathers that I was playing pickup basketball with last night were sitting around and talking about one of them, you know, injured his foot playing soccer with his kid because his kid's practicing to be a goalie. Another one was talking about removing the hot tub in the backyard to put in a basketball hoop for his young daughter who's getting into the sport. Right? Another one was talking about playing horse in the driveway with his son all the time. Now, I don't have kids, right? But of course, I was a kid once, as we all were. And when you think back with Father's Day coming up, like those are some of the fonder memories. Now, some of it, my father, as I always share the stories, we're a basketball family. He played professionally. He would coach us growing up. We would spend a lot of time in that driveway working on our footwork, just doing drills. Well, anytime we wanted to go shoot, he was always there to rebound. And when I got into baseball, I fell in love with baseball a little bit later. I was about 10 years old. My brothers were never into it. I'm the youngest of three. Older brothers were never really into baseball. We were a basketball family. When I fell in love with it, right, all the time, we'd be at the beach. We'd go out into the front yard. I was always willing to have a catch. In fact, it was usually my father that was the one coming up with the idea. He was the one getting me out there. If it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't practice these sports as often as I did. I'd rather just sit inside in the air conditioner and watch. But when you have somebody that's willing to rebound or go through drills with you or just baseball, obviously you need somebody else to throw the baseball around. Right, he was always there. And we would even go. He would even take me to the local baseball field and have me pitch. I was a pitcher back in the day, and he'd catch. And he played baseball as a kid, right? But again, let me reiterate, we're a basketball family. We like baseball. I certainly love baseball. I worked in baseball for a number of years. But he was willing to go out there and, you know, catch whenever I needed to. And I certainly wouldn't be here today in the sports industry without my father. Because as big into sports as I am, that's just the norm in my family. I watch a lot of sports. I think my dad watches even more. He's watching everything on TV. DVRs it all, watches it, you know, after work when he gets home all night, catches up on the games, whatever he misses. And the way that we were raised, it was always about sports, which I love. But I was thinking about that yesterday and leading up to Father's Day this weekend, right, that he was always there to go out in the driveway and shoot hoops, to throw a baseball around, play catch with a football, whatever it was, whatever we needed, whatever we wanted to do. And that's great. I have friends that have become fathers in recent years. And I am not a father, but it's always my advice, right? Just give love. That's all you have to do. People don't know, like, I don't know if I'm prepared to be a parent. Just be there for your kid. Just do things. Give them love. Whatever they need. Go rebound for them when they want to shoot hoops outside. Build that passion or love for sports or whatever it is that they want to do. Be there for them to help them continue to get better at that sport or whatever. Maybe it's music. Or maybe they want to play an instrument, whatever it may be. And all you have to do is be there. That's the sign of a great parent. Unfortunately, not everybody grows up with parents that are there for them. I have plenty of people in my life that grew up in single households where their parents were busy working or just weren't around and they had whatever else going on in their lives. And, you know, I was blessed that both my parents growing up were always there for us whenever we needed something and were involved. And with Father's Day coming up this weekend, obviously happy Father's Day to all those that will be celebrating. Maybe we'll even get a Game 7 in the NBA Finals come Sunday. On Father's Day, which would seem fitting. And for those basketball fans who are also fathers, right, also may be fitting. You wrap up Father's Day with a little Game 7 NBA Finals Sunday night. That would be nice. That'd be good. Do whatever you do during the day, and then you relax at night, watch a little NBA Finals. But I always think back to some of the fondest memories were just going to games with my dad and shooting hoops and playing catch at the beach with baseball. And I was sitting there last night hearing all of the other fathers telling their stories about, you know, how much of a thrill they get from just being out there and shooting around with their kid or, you know, kicking the soccer ball around with their daughter. And I always think that's great. We're all sports fans. That's why you're here. That's why you're listening. If you have kids, I'm sure you raised them to be sports fans as well. And when you were a kid growing up with your father, hopefully you had similar experiences, that those are some of the best times, just being outside and, you know, practicing sports with your father, watching the games with your father, going to a game, going to a Braves game, whatever it may have been, going to the Gamecocks, Clemson, your father taking you. It was always a thrill. And that was the other thing. As I grew up and I would talk to my buddies, I would realize that we were the lucky ones because we went to so many games growing up. And my father would I don't know, work, for lack of a better term, like work. So it'd be a work night. We'd go out to New Jersey to go watch the Nets. We grew up in Connecticut. Like, we'd go travel 2.5 hours to go watch those old Nets teams with Vince Carter and Jason Kidd and Richard Jefferson. And we went to Fenway all the time. And then he'd come back home. We'd get home at like 1 or 2 a.m. He'd have to get up for work the next day. Always appreciated that. And I grew up, and I talked to my buddies. Like, wow, I've never been to a Yankee. We're like, really? We're not even Yankee fans. We go to Yankee Stadium every year. And it wasn't because we were, you know, more well off than others. Just my father was able to get us to the games. We, you know, some people, and plus willing to weeknight, Tuesday night, get some cheap tickets, go to a game, go travel, get home late, get up for work the next day. So those are always the fondest memories. Growing up, right, the bond between sports with you and your kids or you and your parents, whatever it may be. And by the way, it is Father's Day, so I'm focusing on the fathers. But of course, the mothers are all very crucial to the operation as well. I wouldn't be here without my father or my mother in this position, talking sports for a living every day. So happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there coming up this weekend as I reminisce on a Throwback Thursday. But as a non-father, it was cool last night, sitting there, and those were all the stories. They weren't talking about work. They weren't talking about the TV shows, all the stories. As I'm sure if you're a father, same idea. When you get around with your other buddies that are all have kids, you talk about, you know, spending the weekends in the basketball gym or the soccer field, the baseball stadium, watching your kid play. That's the real thrill of it all. And these fathers last night were all excited about talking about their kids getting into sports and them being able to practice with them. And I always think I have so many memories of that as a kid. Those are the good times. So happy Father's Day to those that will be celebrating this weekend. Anyways, reminiscing on a Throwback Thursday. You can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500, to give us a call. Let's go to the phones. Ricardo is with us. Ricardo, what's going on? How are you?
Good, good, Luke. Happy Father's Day, because I'm headed down in Florida for a couple days. But real quick, we grew up across the street in New England, a small town, Springfield,
Yeah. Across
the Basketball Hall of Fame. And my father wasn't there. My older brother, his dream was to play pro ball. He played with Duquesne, with Norm Nixon. And that was my dream, to play pro ball. I played college ball, but unfortunately our nephew was able to fulfill the dream. And my brother's meeting with Doc Rivers as we speak. He just called me from L.A. So hopefully that meeting goes well. But, yeah, I concur that. I come from a basketball family. We ate, drank, and slept basketball, you know?
Yeah.
So that was great. And real quick, big game tonight. Big game tonight. I think the Celtics are going to take it, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then what happens in Game 7?
That's a Vegas call. I don't know. I it's going to go 7, but I really can't call that one. Uh-huh. But one thing I want to ask, this lady, Dana, the owner of Dana Haslam, she owns the Browns. And I was reading a Times article about Deshaun, 66 women, most of them are Hispanic or black, and he's got 26 depositions. I've been to a deposition. Those lawyers are going to rip him apart in March when he's got depositions all in a row. I saw the schedule, and he's really just a scumbag. I agree with Trent. They need to just sit him down. He needs counseling. He's a predator, from what I read, and I don't understand how he has a girlfriend. I mean, any woman cheat on her like that, she would just, it must be money. But that's a sad situation.
Yeah, it really is. It's a tough situation. In regards to the girlfriend, she has hung by him through all this. I don't want to make assumptions about anybody, but her recent post on social media was her driving a Rolls Royce and then her with some sort of bag that I'm not into fashion. I don't know, but I read up about it. Some of those bags are worth like $2 million, and the majority of them go for something like, I don't know what it was, $200,000 to $400,000, something like that.
It's an Hermes bag, I believe.
Was that what it was?
If I'm not mistaken.
It was some ridiculous, expensive purse. So, look, I don't know. Who knows her intention? Maybe she's forgiving. You can move on from something like that. Although, in this case, this is more than just like one situation. Deshaun has admitted to at least three different women through this. But we know about him meeting with 66 different women. That's a little bit different than, hey, he screwed up. I can move past this one bad situation. We could get past this. I can forgive. This is a little bit more than that. This is a serial offender. And for Deshaun, again, innocent until proven guilty. So I don't know if I can sit here and call him a predator, though these accusations would paint him as such. But as I said before, when that story first came out from the New York Times, best case scenario for Deshaun, he's a creep. To meet up with 66 different women over 17 months, hoping that you're going to get something from it sexually with a girlfriend at home. It's just, if my buddy was doing that, if I sat down at the bar with one of my friends and he told me that he was DMing girls on Instagram to meet up with a different woman a week for 17 months for massages from women that are not necessarily licensed massage therapists, and then hoping that there's like a happy ending to it, or he tells me we had consensual sex a few times, I would tell, like, what are you doing? Especially if you have a girlfriend. Like, either end the relationship or like, what are you, 66 different women over 17 months in private hotel rooms, right? Getting massages and hoping something comes from it? Like, that's a red flag. If your buddy told you that, you tell him, like, knock it off. What are you, that's a weird behavior. So that's best case scenario for Deshaun. If he's innocent of doing any wrongdoing, anything illegal, best case scenario is, yeah, he's just kind of a creep. I don't know. He's got this real fetish and probably a problem as well. That seems to be some sort of problem that maybe he doesn't have control over. Worst case scenario, yeah, he's a predator to the 10th degree, worse than some of the others over the years. If it's 66 women that he's seeking out online that are not massage therapists to get them in a position like this, if the accusations are true, right? That's worst case scenario. These 26 women are telling the truth. Yeah, that's a serious issue. He should never play in the NFL again. Best case scenario for Deshaun is that he didn't do anything illegal, but we still know they have the paper trail. He met with 66 different women. They believe he contacted over 100 over a 17-month period, met with 66 different. Most of them weren't actual massage therapists. Sexual things happen in a lot of those incidents. Right, that's the best case scenario. It's just like, a little bit of a creep. Going around meeting with all these women every week. Especially with, I know he's not married, and every relationship's different, right? But you got a girlfriend at home as well. And you're a star quarterback. I referenced it before, but it was what Jordan said to Tiger. I don't know if it's even a true story or if it's just like one of those jokes. But Tiger saying to Michael Jordan, like, I don't know how to talk to, what am I supposed to say to them? I don't know how to talk to women. And Jordan said, just tell them you're Tiger Woods. Similar to Sean. Like, you don't need to go through all this trouble. It's obviously some sort of, I would assume, some sort of like fetish with a massage thing. Or there is that predatory nature to it all, which is also very troubling. Coming up, teams that have improved the most in college football this offseason. We'll get to that. The More Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Oh, when you need a hand, oh, I will be your friend. Take it easy, yeah. Make yourself right at home. Never leave me.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We'll catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery in about 10 minutes, coming off their best performance of the year. While I was over there doing PA, I don't know. Maybe it's a coincidence. All I'm saying, I'm just giving you the facts. Hey, we'll talk about that win with a member of the Battery coming up. You can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500, to give us a call. Let's go back to the phones. Robert is with us. Robert, what's going on? How are you? Nope. Never mind. Robert's not doing well. What is that? Robert, you can give us a call back if you wish. 843-721-9500 to always join the conversation. There's not a lot of worse sounds that you can have, at least on a phone, than that noise right there. The other one, of course, was back in the day on a Throwback Thursday. You would call somebody, and either you call the wrong number and it's a fax machine. That could still happen today. That's the worst. I don't know how many people are still using fax. Every once in a while, I have to fax something. And then the other one, of course, was when you'd call somebody and they were using the internet instead way back when. and you'd get that annoying sound, that screeching sound of them using the internet, with the using the phone line for the internet. What a time to be alive. You had to pick one or the other. Either you have a working phone or you have internet. All right, imagine that. And you used to really have to try to be, it was like a strategy to it. And then you have to do homework on the, okay, you can use the internet for an hour, but I'm expecting a call, so you got to get off the internet in about 30 minutes. Oh, man. Now you got it all on your phone. You can do everything from this thing in your hand. You don't have to worry about, well, do I need to make a call or can I go on the internet? What a time to be alive back then on a Throwback Thursday. Hey, which college football programs have improved the most from the end of last season to where we currently are? College football, as we say, is always becoming more and more like the NFL. And in the NFL, you could have an offseason, you could have free agency, you can make moves, you could get better. Earlier, we talked about teams that go from worst to first. It happens every year. College football, we're getting towards that point where same idea. Michigan State, Mel Tucker, you turn around your team in one offseason. So the teams that have done the most this offseason to better their position this year, we'll actually see how much better they truly are when they lace them up. But I think, of course, USC would be a clear number one, because not only the talent you brought in, but the coaching change. And USC went from winning four games a year ago to being the favorites now in their conference. Their win total is around nine, so Vegas thinks they're going to be more than twice as good as they were a year ago. You won't see that jump from somebody else, at least not on paper right now, for this college football season. In fact, you don't see that jump very often. You have to go back to the 90s. Hawaii was the last team to have as big of a turnaround as we may expect from USC this year. So you get Lincoln Riley. That's a big upgrade over Clay Helton. You get Caleb Williams, one of the best quarterbacks in the country. That's a good upgrade. You get the number one wide receiver. You get a good running back from a conference rival. So they get worse, you get better. A lot of moves this offseason from you. Of course, USC, suddenly they become one of the better teams on paper in the country. Last year, they couldn't even have a winning season. I think they've improved more than anybody. Number two, I'd probably say, I think I'd go Texas at number two. I'm debating between Texas and Miami, but I think Texas is number two. I'd probably put Miami three. Texas two because you bring in Quinn Ewers. Now, we don't know truly how good this kid will be, but the hype is real, so much so that, at least in the eyes of Vegas, right, they believe Texas could win their conference. They're a very slight underdog to Oklahoma. They have the second-best odds right behind Oklahoma. And Texas was another team, much like USC, that last year they won only five games, had a losing record, didn't go to a bowl. It was their worst season in decades. And now we're talking about Texas. Their win total is up around 8.5. We believe they'll be much improved. And it mostly comes down to Ewers. You have the best running back in the country coming back. Year two of the head coach with Sarkisian, that should help. And then you bring in Quinn Ewers, who everybody is very excited about. We'll see how big of an impact he has. Miami, I'd probably put number three because of Mario Cristobal. They also did a good job in recruiting this past offseason because of Mario Cristobal. Now, sure, there is some sort of investigation about name, image, and likeness. Sounds like Miami from 20 years ago. But just simply by bringing in Cristobal, we may not see the full impact this year, but you will see it over time. Number four, I would say Texas A&M. I put them at number four because they had the best recruiting class we've ever seen. But I only put them at number four because I don't know how much those guys will impact the team right away this year. So it depends how you interpret the question of who had the best offseason. Theoretically, Texas A&M probably had maybe the second best offseason behind USC by doing such a good job of recruiting. But I'm looking at this idea of who's improving the most from last year to this upcoming season. Not only had the best offseason, but it's going to pay dividends right away. So that's why Texas A&M, they're a little bit of both. Or they're kind of a blend between those two ways to view this topic. They've had a really good offseason, but I don't think it'll have a huge impact on this upcoming year. Now, with that said, Texas A&M, they've averaged a top 10 recruiting class over the last 4 years already, so they should be good this year regardless. They should be. But to have the best recruiting class ever, to beat Nick Saban to the point that he's been, you know, bitching about it all offseason, Texas A&M has done pretty well. And then number five, if I were to give you a top five, we'll round out a top five, right? LSU, you bring in Brian Kelly, I think that's a huge boost. I was a big Dan Mullins guy, but Florida, after the position they were in last year, to make a change at the coaching position, I think that's a good boost for Florida. There's a lot of teams we can point to that I think made some good moves this offseason. But if I were to finish out the top five, I think I may put South Carolina number five. because you may notice the trend. It's mostly about coaches and quarterbacks. That's what makes the world go round when it comes to football. And for South Carolina, you got Spencer Rattler, who may not be one of the best quarterbacks in the country this year. We'll see. But on paper, is the best quarterback South Carolina has ever had. So when you add a talent like that, especially when you're coming off a season last year when they had to use four different quarterbacks, it's not like we're talking Sam Darnold to Baker Mayfield, where like it's an upgrade, but we don't know how big of an upgrade. This is a huge upgrade in the quarterback room. They had to use four different guys last year. One of their quarterbacks a year ago wasn't even supposed to be a quarterback. He was supposed to be an assistant coach, and they threw him out there. Right, another quarterback came from the FCS level. Now you're getting a guy who everybody thought was going to be the number one pick and a Heisman winner. And even if he's not that, he'll still be a huge improvement. And despite using all those quarterbacks a year ago for South Carolina, they still made it to a bowl game and won seven games in year one of a head coach. Now you add Spencer Rattler to what I've been saying all offseason. Expectations for South Carolina at minimum should be to get better. You got to win at least seven games this regular season. And probably should shoot more for eight because I think Rattler is that big of an improvement at the most important position. Those would probably be the five teams I would say had the best off seasons that have improved the most these last couple of months. USC's number one. I'd probably put Texas two, followed by Miami, Texas A&M. And then I think South Carolina would be there at number five. Right behind them, probably LSU for bringing in Brian Kelly. Florida would be up there for their coaching change. It's about coaching changes and quarterbacks. Those are the biggest changes you can make to your team. Sure, you can go get a good offensive lineman in the portal. It's going to help. It's not going to have the hugest impact. But when you bring in a Brian Kelly, you bring Lincoln Riley out to USC with a Caleb Williams, you bring a Spencer Rattler into that quarterback room, those are the ways to make big improvements, big step forwards in one offseason. Those would be my top five in college football. I think South Carolina, plus, let alone not only Spencer Rattler, but just the feeling around the program, the recruit. I mean, they've had a good offseason. Austin Steiner will be really intriguing at the tight end position. He comes along, too. That's a nice boost. And moving forward to next year, Clemson and South Carolina have been a really good week right now in recruiting. Clemson got another guy yesterday. Clemson right now is the number four recruiting class for next year. We're still so early in all this thing, right, in this whole recruiting stuff. You still got another till February, 8 months to wrap this recruiting class up. We're just getting started. But quite the week for South Carolina and Clemson. And right now, Clemson has a top five recruiting class for next year. Shane Beamer will be in town tonight with Lamont Paris. You're going to be out there with Bobby later?
Yeah, so I'm putting intern Anderson's feet to the fire, see if he can handle another day working the board. And I'm going to head out there and, join the great and powerful Robert Harden as he's remote at the Gamecock Club tonight. So pretty pumped.
Well, at least if you're out there, it'll take one thing off the plate of intern Anderson, of the awkward trying to talk back and forth when he's somewhere else and you can't see each other, or maybe you're on a phone call and you don't know. And so,
yeah, you know, it's a little the process, a little inside baseball here, folks. But we can't see the person that is out on the remote. So when Luke's remote, I can't see the fella. So, you know, I'm just waiting for my cues. It's kind of like being on a phone call for 3 hours. Like that's kind of how I equate it. Just you're just talking on the phone. That's it.
It's like Love is Blind. You're talking to one another through a wall. You can't see each other. You don't know.
Love is blind on Fan Talk, by the way. Love is blind.
We'll catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery when we come back, as they're coming off their best performance of the year. It's the Tomorrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Tomorrow Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Charleston Battery coming off their best win of the year. They beat up the Pittsburgh Riverhounds this past Saturday 3-0 for Pride Night, and now hit the road for a couple of weeks. But coming off a win, I'm sure feeling good. And joining us now is a member of the Charleston Battery. Shaq Adams is with us. Shaq, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Doing well. Appreciate the time. I'm sure, look, I know, the season for the most part hasn't gone as planned for you guys, but I'm sure this past week it felt pretty good to get a win at home, play that well, and beat Pittsburgh 3-0 on Saturday night, huh?
Yeah, definitely. It was a team effort, you know, from start to finish. I definitely think that was one of our best, you know, performances of the year, and hopefully we can get many more to come.
Yeah, certainly. I'm sure, you know, for a team that's trying to stack up wins, a lot of times you got to get the monkey off your back, they say, right? If you get that first one, maybe then it could build towards more. You try to get a winning streak, but of course you got to get that first victory. So when you get a win like that, you know, is there that sense of relief like, okay, we got back into the winning ways, and now you try to start a winning streak coming off of that?
You're exactly correct, just like that. You know, we always keep that mentality that, you know, one win at a time, next game. You know, it might be a cliche, but it's the truth. Like, one win can take you anywhere. We can go from dead last from one win and then become one of the best teams in USL Championship off of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we talked with Shaq Adams from the Battery. Now, as you mentioned, it was a total team effort. You guys played really well. I was in the building doing PA. I was doing the announcements in the stadium. So my question, Shaq, would be, you guys played great. How much credit do I deserve for being there Saturday as you guys won 3-0?
It's always a team effort, everyone, from top to bottom, whether, you know, you're a fan or you're a player on the field, or even you as a PA announcer. So it's always a team effort.
That's a great answer. Well done. Yes, I took plenty of credit from that win Saturday. Hey, what was it like, or what has it been like? This is your first year with the Battery. What's it been like playing at home at Patriots Point in front of the fans so far this year for you?
I love it. It's always fun. It's a great atmosphere. Everyone, you know, is always positive, win or lose, and they always have our back regardless. And it's always good to have that feeling whenever you're on the field playing. And, you know, when you're going through your struggles, that no matter what, that the fans are always going to have your back. So it's always a great feeling.
I ask all your teammates that come on about it, but, you know, it's your first year at the Battery. How did things come together that led you here to the Charleston Battery this year?
I was at Tucson my last 2 years and my first 2 years a pro. And, you know, I played very well in the USL1 and, you know, the Coach Connor and the staff thought that I can bring something to the table. And that's how I ended up, you know, coming up to Charleston.
How have you liked just the area, being in Charleston so far this year?
I love it. It's a nice place. Definitely glad to be back on the East Coast, going to the beaches and all the nice restaurants and, you know, trying to meet new people.
Now, I know your hometown's listed as Nashville, but you were born right in the Caribbean before coming to the States?
Yes, sir.
And how old were you when you first moved to, whether it was Nashville or wherever your family first settled here?
We first went to Maryland, and then we ended up settling officially in Nashville probably when I was around 3 or 4, so pretty young when I first came to the States.
Man, Nashville's a great city. It's certainly a growing city. What was it like growing up in that area?
Oh, I loved it. I still love it till this day. You know, all of my friends back home. And it's just a great area to be in, Nashville. And it's slowly growing from when I first moved there till now. And I still enjoy it and enjoy going back home once in a while.
Yeah, I can imagine so. I'm not from Nashville, and I love going there when I get to every once in a while. It's a great place. Growing up in Nashville, did you have to you get into any of the country music at all growing up in that area? Whenever I go to Nashville, every bar you go to, they got live music. They're all playing country songs. Is that like a requirement of being in the area? You ever get into the country music?
I actually did go to a couple of you know, little country type music events, and you know, when you're down there, you always have to go visit the Grand Ole Opry. So
yes,
those are just the you know, a given that you have to go see and see the different type of culture from, you know, when you're living there and obviously visiting, you always want to, you know, experience something new and see how it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Growing up, I read that you played all sorts of different sports before, you know, settling here on soccer as a professional soccer player. Growing up as an athlete, what different sports did you play? What was it about soccer that specifically, you know, soccer won out compared to the other sports?
Well, if you know me, I played basketball, but, you know, I'm not that tall, so right away it's pretty easy to not want to be a basketball player just from that. But, you know, my dad was a soccer player, too, so I got pretty competitive and wanted to be the best that I can be and obviously try to beat him out of, you know, being the better one in the family. So that's kind of where soccer came about.
Talking with Shaq Adams from the Battery. Now, you go by the name Shaq. If you're playing basketball with the name Shaq, I imagine that's got to be pretty annoying as well, people making the obvious comparisons to Shaquille O'Neal all the time.
Yeah, I always get it, no matter where I go from the opposing team's crowd, that, you know, you're not the real Shaq or you're too short to be the Shaq. But, you know, it is what it is, and it's a funny little running joke that's been going on for years.
Yeah. Hey, you spell it differently, so, you know, you're your own Shaq. He's a different
Exactly.
I've heard that you're the fastest player on the Battery. Do you think this is true if we line up everybody? Are you beating everybody in a foot race?
100%. I am definitely the fastest.
I love it. You ever do like do you know your 40 time? You ever get measured to see like how quick you truly are?
I have not done an official 40 time, but so far my highest has been, I think 9.9 meters per second from what we've clocked.
Dang. Sounds fast. Yeah, absolutely. What goes into being like, what's your training like to get to that point where you're as quick as you are as fast? And obviously you have to have the endurance for soccer. What's your training regimen like to be prepared for a soccer season?
For me personally, since I am, you know, very fast, I have to make sure that my body can handle being at that, you know, top speed a lot and very consistent for the way that I play specifically. So a lot of the times I'm in the off season, I have to make sure that I'm reaching, you know, my top speed by the time I have to prepare for preseason, whatever team that I end up playing for. So that's usually what my training regimen goes to, is a lot of ball work and a lot of sprints.
You played at Florida Gulf Coast, and you played against a couple of your current teammates when they were at FIU. You're one of six players on the team that's from the Caribbean. So, you know, when you come to a new team like this, does it help to have either some guys from maybe a similar background or some guys that you've already played against? Does that help with the process of joining a new team and getting familiar with these teammates?
Yeah, it's always a help, you know, a couple of the guys that went to FIU, and of course my college teammate, Preston, who was also here, made it pretty easy, the transition. And, you know, FIU is one of the schools we played plenty of times throughout our year, so, you know, we had that little friendly little rivalry going between our two schools, so we have a little joke here and there, but that always makes it very easy with the transition if you know someone or even played against someone for so many years.
Yeah, that's true. Preston Kilwine, right, played with you at Florida Gulf Coast. I've been down there a handful of times when I used to work in the A-Sun, and what a beautiful campus down in Fort Myers. So you're from the Caribbean originally, then you're raised in Nashville, you go to college in Fort Myers, Florida, now you're playing here in Charleston. I'm jealous of your path here through life. You've hit all the good spots. Florida Gulf Coast is a newer school. It's a beautiful campus. You must have liked your time going to FGCU.
Yeah, I loved it. Preston was actually one of the guys that helped me out on going there when I went to my visits and doing the camp. So he made it pretty, you know, pretty well known that this is going to be a great place to be at and where I should be at the time. And, you know, of course, you know, I decided to end up going there and have my 4 years graduating there, and now I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah, good spots to be in South Florida and here in the Lowcountry. When you have some time off, what do you like to do around here? You get a day to yourself, or you get an afternoon after a workout? What have you found yourself doing to pass the time here in the Lowcountry?
So far I've been, you know, going to the beaches, trying to see a little bit of the place. Since, you know, I was in Tucson, there wasn't much of a beach. It was more of a desert kind of vibe, so I definitely miss the beach from when I was in college. So a lot of the times, anytime I get my time off, I'm headed to the beach just to relax.
I don't blame it. Talking with Shaq Adams from the Charleston Battery. All right, let's talk a little bit about the team before we let you go. As I mentioned, you get that win Saturday night. Hopefully that opens the floodgates now for you moving forward. But what did you feel like was the difference in terms of Saturday, or how you guys have been practicing or playing lately? What did you see as the big differentiating factor Saturday that you guys can take with you now moving forward and continue to play well?
Just day by day, you know, it's tough when you're going through a losing You know, we went a couple months without a win since our first game of the season. But, you know, this group of guys, you know, they don't falter. So every single day, you know, we come in and try to change our mindset of what we want to accomplish, no matter whether we would have won or lost. We just kind of take the little things as success. And, you know, we ended up tying Loudon, and that was the first step of, you know, feeling a little bit of success, even though it wasn't a win. But we still end up getting away with the point and then taking away the game after, you know, we were down 4-1 and just to battle back and make it 4-3. You know, you still take that as a little bit of success. And then, you know, we have the confidence to see that, hey, we can do this. And then as soon as, you know, we played Pittsburgh, you can sense that there was a little bit of confidence and swagger in the group of the guys that, you know, this is our chance to get our first win. And it just stayed from the first minute till the 90th minute.
You had 23 goals in college. You had 12 over the past 2 years, so you know how to put the ball in the net. Do you have I always ask all your teammates as well, do you have a certain goal celebration you go to, or is it just whatever comes up in the moment?
Usually I kind of think of one a couple days before to see, you know, you might not always score in that game, but it's always good to have a celebration on hand in case you do score. But I always think of one maybe a couple of days before when I might pull out of my bag.
Yeah, you got some good dance moves that you show off out there on the field?
I try to once in a while if I can.
I hear you. Talking with Shaq Adams. Before we let you go, speaking of those goals, right? In soccer, we know obviously not as many goals or scores as say basketball, football, even baseball nowadays. That's got to be what's that feeling like when you execute a play perfectly, put the ball in the back of the net, and you score a goal like you've done so many times throughout your soccer career. I imagine that's quite the feeling for you as a player.
Yeah, it's always a great feeling to score, you know, as a forward. It's kind of sometimes a sense of a relief because it's like you've been working your butt off for the last couple of weeks in training if you hadn't scored the game prior. So then once you see the first one go in the back of the net, it's like, you know, maybe it's time to go on a run and, you know, go for the next one, the next game, or even the next one in the next moment. So it's always a sense of relief and joy and excitement.
You played basketball, as you said, a little bit growing up. Are you into the NBA, or will you be watching Game 6 of the NBA Finals tonight, or have you not been paying attention to that?
Oh, no, I'm always watching basketball. You know, I love all kinds of sports, from the NFL to NHL to, you know, the NBA. So I always try to keep up with the playoffs, and right now, you know, I think the Warriors look like they can run home with the trophy.
Yeah, I think you're right. We'll see what happens tonight. Should be fun. He's Shaq Adams, a forward for the Charleston Battery. They're coming off a big win this past Saturday on Pride Night, their best performance of the year to this point. Hopefully it gets them going now throughout the summer. Shaq, appreciate the time. Appreciate you joining us, and wish you the best of luck here the rest of the season.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Hey, pleasure's all ours. Appreciate it. Shaq Adams of the Charleston Battery. He spells it S-H-A-K, so a little bit different than Shaquille O'Neal. But not a ton of Shaq, so I imagine when you go by Shaq, of course, everyone's going to think of Shaquille O'Neal. Which, by the way, speaking of names, we have to get to that a little bit later on as we get ready for the NBA Finals tonight because of the Gary Payton. He's not a junior. He's Gary Payton the second, number two. And I was curious, looked it up, and it's an interesting backstory, I guess, or I find it intriguing. We'll have to get to that later. But when we come back, we were talking yesterday about how you get dressed in the morning. Apparently, one NFL player can sell his used underwear for a pretty good price. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Like 2 feet hanging in the water, a few trees stood a little taller, new breeze feels so good. Can't help but remind me that it was a good day. Yeah. Not much to do but just stay around. Yeah, it was a good day.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio.
Yeah, it was a good day.
You know, yesterday on the show we were talking about how you get dressed in the morning. Always got to go underwear first, regardless of what you're rocking. Tom Brady evidently is sending a pair of game-used underwear to a lucky fan, if you want to call him lucky. The fan, I guess, requested them, and Brady did one of those things on Twitter where if you get a certain number of likes, it was 40,000, and the fan named Greg, at least according to his Twitter account, got enough likes that Brady agreed and slid into his DMs to organize the transaction of game-used underwear. Now, I mean, plenty of questions. Why would you be interested? But I assume if Brady's keeping these, if he really does truly have, unless it's for this upcoming season, he's going to do it in the future. I don't know. But if this is, like, already used, number one, why is Brady keeping it? Number two, that would probably mean he's reusing the underwear, and then I would assume is being washed after games. I don't think Brady has a closet full of dirty underwear from his football game. So maybe it's not as nasty as it would sound, but still the fact that you would request used underwear from somebody else is very strange. But for Greg, he got enough likes, and Brady said he's going to be sending him some game-used underwear. As he said in the follow-up tweet, what's wrong with you people? Greg, check your DMs and pick a color. Trent, would you want game-used underwear from any NFL player?
No. No, Luke Mara. I wouldn't. Now, I mean, Brady brand underwear looks relatively comfortable, so, you know, I might, you know, dabble into that world. But no, I would never request something so heinous as to game-worn underwear. Maybe, I mean, he could sell it for a big profit more than likely, but still.
That's true.
What are we doing?
That's true. You could flip the game-used underwear.
Yeah, flip. Have him sign them and flip them. There you go. You sell them those things for 50 grand on some website.
That's not bad. If there's an autograph included. That would have to be one of the, like in Step Brothers when they got the autograph on, like, the sword. If you got a Tom Brady autograph on used underwear, that'd have to be one of the weirdest places for such a big autograph. Hour 3 next. It's the Mara Midday Show on ESPN Radio.